In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works. And I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 115, the Eighth Commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. In the image, we have St. Peter standing up and a dead man lying on the ground there. The caption reads, "It was the custom among the first Christians for the rich to sell their property and give the money to the apostles to be shared among all. Ananias and his wife Sapphira, two disciples, sold their land, but they plotted to keep back some of the money, giving the rest to St. Peter. Ananias pretended that it was the whole price that had been received for the land. St. Peter rebuked him and said that he lied against the Holy Ghost. Ananias fell down dead. Later, Sapphira, not knowing what had happened to her husband, told the same lie to St. Peter. She also fell and died immediately after." What are we commanded by the Eighth Commandment? By the Eighth Commandment, we are commanded to speak the truth in all things, but especially in what concerns the good name and honor of others. God is the God of truth, and we are obliged to respect that truth. If we would prove ourselves children of God, we should, like Him, always respect the truth. Quote, "I am the way and the truth and the life," says our Lord, St. John chapter 14, verse 6. "You shall not lie," Leviticus 19:11. This is why a lie, even when told for a good purpose, is always a sin, because it is contrary to the nature of God. The lover of truth is like God and well-pleasing to Him. The lover of truth is also held in esteem by his fellow men, who know that they can trust him, for in him, as in Nathanael, is no guile. Nathanael was spoken of in St. John chapter 1, verse 47. Even if we suffer from telling the truth, we shall be saved trouble and shall possess a clear conscience. A habitual liar not only is often led into grave sin, but fortifies the trust. A habitual liar not only is often led into grave sin, but forfeits the trust of his fellow beings and is the cause of a great deal of harm. When people know that one is a habitual liar, they do not believe him, even when he tells the truth. The liar is almost always guilty of other sins. Quote, "A thief is better than a man that is always lying. Lying men are without honor," from Ecclesiasticus chapter 20, verses 27 and 28. In the Eighth Commandment, God forbids us to detract in any way from our neighbor's honor or reputation. It is our good reputation that keeps us well thought of and well spoken of among our fellow men. Quote, "A good name is better than great riches, and good favor is above silver and gold," from Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. The esteem of others is essential to real happiness. Those who know they are despised by their fellow men are not likely to be happy in this life. One who brings another into disrepute is a thief stealing a good name. A good name is acquired by consistent struggle, by making our good works known, by defending ourselves whenever false accusations are made against us. This is why, in ordinary cases, we do our good works openly in accordance with our Lord's injunction. Quote, "So let your light shine before men, in order that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." From St. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Good works are the best means of defending a good name. We must, however, be sure we do not do our good works only to make a show before men, but chiefly to please God. When our name is in danger, we should defend ourselves and justify ourselves. But it is foolish to make too much fuss over trifles as going to court over nothing. If we would not speak so often, we would avoid many sins into which we habitually fall, consisting of sins of the tongue. Most of the sins committed are sins of the tongue: lying, backbiting, slander, gossip, calumny, detraction, the telling of secrets, all the results of talkativeness. Let us try an experiment. For one whole day, do not speak unless absolutely necessary. But each time you would have talked, jot down what you had wanted to talk about. At the end of the day, you will see how many useless things, things wasteful of time, not to mention unkind and sinful things, you had wanted to say. If people would only hold their tongues, how much more useful they could be. Truthfulness promotes the general welfare of society and mutual trust among men. The orderliness of the social order depends greatly on members speaking the truth. Let us imagine our own special community with our favorite friends and tradesmen, with those we contract every day on various matters. Let us imagine the situation if we were not certain they were telling the truth all the time, but only a probable 10% of the time. What is an evasion? An evasion is a statement that may be interpreted in two ways. We are permitted to give an evasive or double-meaning answer when there is no obligation to answer, and in order, A, to conceal a secret we have an obligation or a right to keep, and B, to shield ourselves or others from harm. In an evasive reply, the hearer deceives himself by his interpretation of what he hears. Saint Athanasius, Bishop of Alexandria, was concealed in a vessel on the Nile when the soldiers of the Emperor Julian overtook and stopped it. On their inquiring where Athanasius was, his servant replied, "He has not gone far." The soldiers went onward. We are not supposed or expected to tell everybody our private affairs or those of our friends or superiors. Many persons, out of carelessness or curiosity, have a most irritating habit of asking very personal questions, such as, "Where have you been?" or "Where are you going?" "Did you have a visitor?" "How old are you?" "What is your salary?" "Where do you get so much money?" "What do you do all day?" "What is your work now?" "How much did you pay for your dress?" "Why did you leave home?" etc. If we are asked indiscreet questions by such curious or ill-bred people, we have a right to give such an evasive answer as, "I do not remember," meaning, "I do not remember to tell you." At best, these questions are a sign of extreme ill-breeding. We should be more thoughtful and discreet and give everybody the right to his own private affairs. Answering, "He is not at home," is a social custom understood to mean that the person is not receiving callers, even if he is in the house. If a person we cannot trust tries to borrow money from us, we can say, "I have no money," meaning, "I have none to lend you." When another has the right to the truth, we must answer simply and openly. Such is the case in buying or selling, or in drawing up an agreement. It would be against justice if two persons about to marry were to deceive each other by evasions about money matters and other things. What does the Eighth Commandment forbid? The Eighth Commandment forbids lies, rash judgment, detraction, calumny, and the telling of secrets we are bound to keep. Quote, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord," from Proverbs 12, verse 22. Quote, "Wherefore put away lying and speak truth, each one with his neighbor, because we are members of one another," from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. That concludes our reading of the lesson 115 on the Eighth Commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Do we have any questions or comments? Okay, so I just want to make a point that it's not just lying that is forbidden, but revealing things that perhaps may be true, but which we have no right to speak of or to share that information with others. Everyone is entitled to their own privacy, and we must respect that privacy to the extent that we are able to. There are occasions when someone has a right to know or needs to know certain information, and depending on the severity or the degree of their right to know, we have a right, or we have an obligation, I would say, to answer without evasion, without equivocation. Very often, individuals will tell what they, I guess they call a white lie, but actually every lie is an injustice. It is an attack upon God himself, who is truth itself. And I think more often than not, what we are perhaps guilty of in so many white lies are evasions. We don't want to tell someone exactly what is on our mind because perhaps it is not nice, or this person has no need to know, or we want to spare someone's feelings. Very often these personal matters, the individual has no need to know, no right to know, and we are really under no obligation to tell them. And sometimes it just feels awkward to say, it's none of your business. Well, I think probably maybe I take a little more satisfaction out of saying that than I should. It's none of your business, or mind your own business. There's many things that have been spoken to me in confidence that I can't really reveal. And if you want to know, go ask the person directly. Don't come to me. But it is, I guess, more sociably acceptable to say, I do not know. And I can tell you the equivocation is not a sin, as we've just read, and many priests are put in that position of saying, I do not know, when he may very well know from what has been confessed to him. He can say, I do not know, because I do not know in the public realm where I am now free to express this to you. I do not know because that was given to me under the secret of confessional, and under the seal of the confessional. I do not know outside of that seal of confession anything. And so I do not know, and let the individual draw whatever conclusion they want from that, whether they think that I do not know, or maybe they think I'm lying because I tell them I do not know. But a priest is very justified in giving that equivocation, because he's under an obligation to keep that seal of the confessional. And it's not just priests. I can suggest to you lawyers, patients, what's that, the lawyer-client confidentiality. It's got to be something serious, and I think they actually need a judge's order for the lawyer to reveal something, and usually it's something very specific that the court is interested in knowing. We have HIPAA laws, so we are all pretty much put in positions sometime in our life, or sometimes very frequently in our lives, when we must respect the privacy of others, and then perhaps give an equivocation of, I don't know, or I do not have it, or I cannot share that with you. Usually if we tell them something that indicates we know, but we're unwilling to share it, it just starts them pestering us over and over again, trying to twist the information out of us by wearing us down one way or another. And so very often the easiest, the most productive, I guess, way around this is to equivocate and give them an answer that they will interpret one way, but is not essentially a lie. And I say this after just writing an article pointing out that a half-truth is a whole lie. Lying is an evil. It is a great evil, but at the same time, it is not sinful to withhold information from someone who has no right or need to know. And so therefore, an equivocation is not a lie. It is not a half-truth, but we have let the person believe something that is not the whole truth, if you will. So saying, I do not know, with reserve, with a mental reservation, I do not know because I can't tell you this. I don't know this outside of my professional realm, and we are not in this professional realm. So in my personal life, in my personal conversations, I do not know. And there I can separate my professional information and knowledge from my personal information and knowledge. Do we have any questions or comments now?
You actually see that basically the same thing as a conscientious objection.
Yes, I think so. You could, when object to revealing any information because my conscience will not allow it. Yeah.
Okay. I've just heard that basically kind of the same thing explained on under only under that different
And the
terminology instead of
terminology, well,
foundation.
I think that would be probably used in a court of law more frequently than on a day-to-day basis, but yes, I would see that that is substantially the same thing. All right,
Thank you.
we can end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.